Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying seven churches of Revelation from Revelation chapters 2 and 3. In this session, we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Sardis. Let's read those verses, our text. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed with in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This letter is different than the previous four. Smyrna received only praise. Ephesus, Pergamos, and Thyatira received praise and criticism, but Sardis received no praise at all. This is because nominal Christians filled the pews of that church. It appeared to be alive, but it was dead. Like a whitewashed tomb, it looked nice on the outside, but the inside was just filled with bones. This is the church of the Reformation period, AD 1517 to 1750. Verse 1 reveals that this church was only plain church. "I know your works, that you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead." Sardis had become a church in name only, one that was just going through the motions. The city was wealthy, but it was deteriorating in its glory. Twice in history, Sardis was surrounded by enemies, and her careless guards fell asleep. The enemy captured the city. The leaders and citizens were too lazy to defend their city. The church had the same attitudes. They dwelt on past glory when so-and-so was pastor. They had a good reputation at one time. They thought they had arrived spiritually. They were content with what they had done. Thyatira had been doing greater work. Despite the sinful corruption, Sardis was in decline after a great start. The church at Sardis was living off its past reputation of a thriving ministry. But Jesus declared the church dead. "I know your works, that you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead." So he does an autopsy and he gives us the results. The autopsy, well, Sardis died because it relied on past successes. The healthy body was neglected. Sardis died because it let sin into the membership. The moral standards became loose. Sardis died because it ignored its spiritual condition. Members believed God was there because of the beautiful building. Paul described these Christians to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 as having a form of godliness but denying its power. But the question before us is, can a dead church live again? Well, you know the story. In AD 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the chapel at Wittenberg, Germany. The result of that act was what we know historically as the Reformation. The problem, old leadership remained in place and the revival stalled. old habits die hard. It was time for a complete spiritual overhaul. Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Certain aspects of their faith and practice were alive, but they needed to be more serious in devotion. I have not found your works perfect. Their relationship with God needs to be reworked. Good steps had been taken, but they fell so far short. A church must back its doctrine and words with devotion and works. John didn't receive the revelation for his personal benefit. It was to be given to others. What God gives to a church must be given to others. If a church doesn't put into practice what it receives in knowledge of God, it dies out. This is where Sardis was failing. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. If a church body stops sharing the gospel, it begins to die. A church can fall asleep. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus tell his followers to do? Well, verse 3 states his counsel. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come to you. I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Recall your better days. Reflect on what you've received and heard. Forgiveness of sins, salvation, eternal life, future rewards in heaven. They heard clear, correct preaching of God's word. Now they were backslidden as a body and needed to return to his teachings. Jesus wants his church to be awake, waiting his return. How do we do this? Return to sincere worship, believing, and right living. There's a warning. We can be going through the motions of a thriving church and be far from God. Verses 4 and 5 reveal a crucial principle. Jesus always has a remnant to use for his purposes. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Not many were faithful, but Jesus knew who was. They were the ones who refused to defile themselves with the sins of others. He has three promises for his faithful. First, they will be dressed in white. Galatians 2:20. In the Roman culture, white represented victory. Believers will walk in victory with Jesus. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Second, they were secure in the book of life. 1 John 5:4, and this speaks of eternal security. A believer cannot fall from grace. You cannot lose your salvation once you've gained it. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And then third, they would be acknowledged in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Can a dead church live again? Yes. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 down to verse 14. And just read this wonderful story, this vision that Ezekiel had. Ezekiel 37, beginning with verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, Oh, Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. And then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. A church that is dead, where rigor mortis has begun to set in, needs to strengthen the things which remain. A dead church can be revived when the members are each transformed by the Holy Spirit. A dead church can live again by God's power. As we continue to look at the seven churches of Revelation, you think about all this and these churches and what it means to us today, and you have a great day.